Galatians 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 16 as we get started tonight. We're talking about music in the home. We're going to finish up our series on music tonight. If you have any questions, please feel free to come and ask. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. And we always want to make sure we use God's Word as our foundation for what we do and say. And so if you have any questions, please come and see me. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of music. Thank you that it ministers to our heart as we exalt you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to always keep a proper perspective on music, always keep proper music in our lives. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through that aspect of our lives. Father, tonight as we look at the music we should have in our homes and our personal lives, I pray that you would teach us the things you want us to learn. Your Holy Spirit would help us to have understanding. Pray that you help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. And may you be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Much of our study of music up to this point has been about how music relates to our worship in church. This evening, I want to look at how music, or talk about the music we listen to in our home or in our time outside of church. Now, why is that of concern? Why do we need to talk about that? Well, because of the statement we made previously, and that is the way we view God in private will determine the way we worship Him in public. Our personal lives will be the springboard for our public worship. We've said before that if you want to see what's going to be in the churches as far as music in the days to come, look at what people are listening to in their homes right now, and you'll be able to tell what's going to be in the church in just a short time. The music we listen to in our homes, our cars, while we work out, whatever, will have an impact on the music that will eventually end up in the church. Now, while it's true that the church is a different setting than the home, is the music standard any different? We're going to look at that tonight. Obviously, we can't have someone stand in our living room and sing hymns to us, and sometimes that would be nice, but we can't do that. But there are some similarities between the music in our home and the music in church. And the first thing I want to look at tonight is the standard. What is the standard for music in our home? And is it different from the church? There are several verses that help us to establish a standard, whether it is private or public. Let me share those with you. 1 Corinthians 10:31, most of us know that. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Would music fall under that category? Whatsoever ye do. Ephesians 5:10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." And then 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Some people will say that music in the church is for worshiping God, and music in the home is for personal edification. Well, the problem that I see with that is the distinction there between one standard for the home, one standard for the church. While the standard in the church is determined by what brings glory and praise to God, then the standard in the home could be determined by what feels good to me or what edifies me. But based on the verses we just read, when is the standard of glorifying God acceptable to the Lord, purity, sanctification and honor, and holiness to be applied? When is that standard to be applied? All the time. Not just when we come to church. We said a few weeks ago that music has a twofold purpose, to glorify God, and at the same time that it does that, it edifies man. But the main purpose always needs to be to glorify God. So I am built up, or I am edified, when I glorify God, when my walk with the Lord, when my view of God is exalted and made bigger because I exalt Him. And so it's always primary to glorify God, to make God bigger, to make God more important in my eyes, to put God at a greater point, a greater preeminence. And that's the place that He is due. So if the standard is the same, then if I cannot sing it in church, I really shouldn't be listening to it in my home. Think about that. If I can't stand up here and sing it to the glory of God, should I be listening to it in my home? No, you shouldn't be. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. You know, some people say that sounds kind of harsh. That sounds kind of strict. Well, 1 Corinthians 9, 27. It's not 1 Corinthians. Yeah, it is. Other than 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Why do we allow ourselves to be put under such guidelines? So that we can have an opportunity to minister to others. The real reason is to minister Christ. And so, yes, it is. It may seem kind of strict. It may seem kind of rigid. But sometimes we have to do that so our light shines brighter. You know, when we're like the world, when we listen to the same type of music those around us in the world listen to, what's our light like? It's like a light with a basket over it. People say, well, what's different from you than me? So we need to be different. We need to be distinct. We need to be separate, as the Bible says. So we need to restrain our own appetites so we can maintain God's standard. And so we have to bring our lives into subjection to God's word and God's direction. What about the sound? Secondly, what about the sound? Now we've discussed the three parts of music, melody, harmony, and rhythm. And the melody is to be the prominent part. The harmony enriches the melody. And then the rhythm provides support by maintaining order. That tempo, that beat, not the outstanding beat, but that subtle beat that helps us to maintain order. And that's to be in the background. So we ask ourselves, do those three elements have a different impact on us in the home than they do in the world, or rather than the church? Does the melody, harmony, and rhythm affect us differently when we're at home? Well, they still need to be kept in the proper order. You know, if I were to stand up here and I were to sing a song for you, and I'm not going to do the whole song, but if I were to sing the Haven of Rest, "My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress." Okay, I can have the piano accompanying me, and that's how we view getting in church. I wasn't going to do this necessarily, but I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. This is some music I would play in our home. See if it comes up the way it's supposed to. Oh. I had it queued up. So this is just a quartet, and it's a cappella, so there's really no... Okay, I won't keep playing it. It's good, but I won't keep playing it. But you see the difference? It's not just me singing, one person singing. It's a quartet, if they're able to harmonize, they're able to have a blend of a perfect, a nice blend in that song. They can do that in recordings. Okay? We can't always do that up here in church. We don't always have a quartet, or we don't always have the instrumentation. We don't have a full orchestra. Okay? That's one of the benefits of music in our home. We can have music that is set to a full orchestra, and we've got a piano and two violins. Okay? We can't quite get the same sound. But the melody, the harmony, and the rhythm should still be in balance in the music we listen to in our home. And as we said, it might be a different sound because of supporting the music that supports it, but it always has to be balanced. Now, we ask ourselves a question. If that recording is appealing to my flesh, first of all, then it's out of balance because that's the rhythm. That's the wrong emphasis, and it's not the right kind of music. I want to go to a subject, and that is the Christian's liberty that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. The Christian's liberty, that's our third point. We looked at the standard, we looked at the sound, but I want to look at the Christian's liberty. And this is a term that has been misunderstood by so many people. What is liberty? Liberty is freedom from bondage to something. So when the pilgrims came over from England and they came to the New World, they were seeking freedom or liberty to worship God as they believe they should. When the colonists penned the Declaration of Independence several hundred years ago, or 200 and some years ago, what were they doing? They were declaring their independence. They wanted freedom from British rule so that they could govern themselves again as they believed God would have them to. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And when Paul talks about liberty, he's referring to the freedom these new believers had from the Jewish rites and ceremonies, but it was much more than that. It was a freedom from the power and guilt of sin that comes only through believing in Jesus Christ, and that was the freedom they had in Christ. See, we were slaves to sin, and Christ paid the price to purchase us out of that bondage and give us liberty. Now, many people think that this liberty is permission to do what I want. I have liberty. I have Christian liberty, so I can do whatever I want. And they use it to justify sin. I was talking to somebody just the other day about this liberty that people think they have. They can apply God's standard to one area, but when it comes to something I want to do, well, you know, it's kind of an exception. Well, that's what they call Christian liberty. That's not Christian liberty. They say, "I'm no longer in bondage anymore. I'm free." Paul addresses that in Romans. And it's important to understand that when we are set free from one thing, we're going to serve something else. We're never just out there just flying around free. If we're free from this thing, we're going to be serving something else. For instance, a man is released from prison. He's served his sentence. He's released from prison. When he leaves that prison, he's not just out there just walking around doing nothing. He's going to be serving one of two things. Either he's going back to his old habits, or he's going to make a new path and he's going to do what's right. And so what is he doing? He's giving himself to do something different, whether it's the old habits or a new path. And so he's always following something. So when somebody says, "I'm free to do what I want," they're choosing to serve their flesh and their own selfish desires. In other words, I'm choosing. I want it. I desire it, so I'm going to do it because I think I'm free. But the freedom that we have in Christ is freedom to serve a new master. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I say these things because it applies to music as well. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. We have the freedom to serve a new master. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, put off that burden that you're carrying. He says, "Come unto me," or "take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, My burden is light. And so we have that new master. We have a new master that is gentle, that is kind, that is loving, that is firm with us, is everything we need in a master. So we are free to do what God wants us to do, and it's freedom to do what is right, so that I don't put a stumbling block in my brother's path. How many times has someone justified their questionable actions because, well, they did it, so it must be okay. They saw somebody they thought was a Christian, they trusted him, they saw him doing the same thing, so they justified doing it themselves. That's a stumbling block. And that person who follows that example of that person will most likely take that questionable activity a little further, a little deeper, a little further away than the way he should be. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verses 15 to 23. Here Paul addresses the subject of living so as not to be a stumbling block to someone else. Romans 14, verse 15. It says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense, or knows that he's offending. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And so we could take music, we could apply music to that passage. If I'm driving along in a vehicle with someone, and I know that the music that I'm listening to would be offensive to them, what should I do? Oh, get real. Oh, just get a life. No. I reach over and turn it off. Why? Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. Maybe I should do a little bit of searching in my own life to see, okay, is that good music? And so we don't want to put things in our brother's path that cause him to be a stumbling block. It says in verse 22, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Sometimes we have to put aside the things that we want to do so that we're not a stumbling block to someone else. So when you hear someone say, "I have liberty to do whatever I choose," it's usually an excuse to hide some wrong choice and some wrong action. So do we have the freedom to listen to whatever type of music we want outside of church? Well, as a Christian, we now have the freedom anytime to listen to exactly the music God would have us to listen to. We are no longer under the bondage of the flesh and bound by it to listen to the world's music. We are now free through God's word to let the Holy Spirit guide our choices. We can apply passages we talked about, 1 Peter 1, where it talks about being holy, for Philippians 4, where it talks about being pure, Ephesians 5:10, where it talks about being acceptable to the Lord, and 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it's glorifying God in everything we do. We apply those verses to our music choices. But let me give you five principles real quickly what we can use to determine if any activity is right for us to do. This can be just not just to music, but if any activity is right for us to do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. These are just five principles that we can say, okay, is this a good thing for me to be involved in? The first one is it helpful physically, spiritually, and mentally? Okay, is it helpful physically, spiritually, and mentally? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Paul says, I can do what I want to do, but not everything is best for me to do. You know, I can sit down and I can eat a whole chocolate cake. I would regret it later. Okay? It's not the best for me. Okay? I could sit down and eat a whole 15-ounce steak. That's not the best for me either. Okay? I can sit down and I can listen to certain things, but maybe it's not the best. Maybe I need to do something different. So is it helpful physically, spiritually, mentally? Now, I can go out and run a 26-mile marathon, but you might as well prepare my casket because that's where I'll need to be, because it'll kill me if I do that. It's not always helpful physically. But he says also, secondly, does it bring me under its power? 1 Corinthians 6, 12, the last part says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You hear people say, I've got to have my music. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to have this. I just got to have it. What are they doing? They're saying, I'm under the power of this thing. I've got to have it. You know, I work in construction, and people come on the job site. Subcontractors will come, and they turn on the radio, and they crank it way up. And I say, can you guys turn that down? It's kind of distracting. Oh, we got to have the music. No, we don't have to have the music. You need to turn the radio down. Okay? What's the problem? They're being under the power of that music. Okay, so we ask ourselves, does it bring me under its power? Thirdly, does it hurt others? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Does it hurt others? It says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And Paul says, I'll go to that extreme. He says, if it offends my brother, I'm not going to eat meat to offend him. Now, we could look at that and say, does that mean we never eat meat? Not necessarily. But when we're with that person, we just abstain from that just for the sake of not offending. Okay, when we know that's an offense, okay, there's other things that we can eat. You can eat ice cream. Okay? But the point is, we don't do something to be offensive when we know it's an offense. Does it hurt others? Fourthly, does it glorify God? This is the biggest one. Does it glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And the fifth one doesn't apply to many of us here, but it does apply to some, and that is, do my parents approve? And let me tell you, that's a big one. Why? Because as long as a child, as long as a young person is in their parents' home, they are under their parents' authority, according to the Bible. Okay? I don't care if you're 10, if you're 12, if you're 15, if you're 25. If you are living in your parents' home, you're to be under their authority to the point where you will seek their counsel, you will follow their commands. If you're older, you still are seeking to follow your parents' authority. Okay? I get people that say, well, they're 18 or 19 or 20, so I don't have to obey my parents anymore. Show me in the Bible where it says that, especially if you're living under your parents' roof. Okay? Do my parents approve? Why? God uses our parents as a protection over us. God uses our parents to guide us, to help us. Now, when I'm in my own home and I establish my home with my wife, God gives us our own home, then what happens? Okay, I'm the one that's responsible to direct the authority over my family. Okay? I can still honor my parents, but sometimes there's going to be things that they say they'll be different. They see things differently. Okay? And I have to be willing to go to them and talk to them and work through those things. But when a child is in their parents' home, they need to be under their authority. They need to be following their parents' guidelines. So do the parents approve? But I want to go to another checklist or another list here that more specifically deals with music. And that is, first of all, godly music must be pure. Godly music must be pure. To whom does the music give glory? When I sing something or when I have something playing, to whom does that music give glory? How does the music reflect biblical doctrines and godly living? Does it reflect that, or does it reflect the values of the world? And then does the music violate my conscience in any way? And that's important, not to violate your conscience. So music, godly music must be pure. Secondly, godly music must be orderly. Are the musical elements of melody, rhythm, and harmony, are those in order? Are those balanced? Does the music overpower the text? Okay. I know that some music is so loud that you can't hear the words. Okay. Then the text really doesn't minister to a person when the music is so overbearing, overpowering. Does the music overpower the text? That's not orderliness. Is the text accurate according to God's word? Okay. That needs to be orderly. Does the performer imply intimacy with the listener by breathy singing or sliding notes? You get a lot of that in the world's music where they just really talk in the microphone really low, really soft. You see a lot of that in contemporary Christian music. Is the music a new sound, as in rock or entertainment music? Or is it a new song that demonstrates a changed life? Music needs to be orderly. Godly music must be orderly. And then thirdly, godly music must be edifying. Does the music refresh and invigorate? Does the music invoke healthy, positive emotions? Or is it depressing? Is it discouraging? Is it demoralizing? Does the music point the listener to God? And that's what edifying is. When it builds me up and gives me a greater view of who God is, a greater understanding of Him, I'm built up. And does the music end on a note of praise or focus on God? So the music must be edifying. Music needs to help me grow in my Christian life. So music has to edify me. And so we ask ourselves, what is acceptable music to have in our home? Well, remember Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. What is honoring to the Lord? His standard is purity and holiness. And His standard hasn't changed in all of time. It's always been purity and holiness. And if we would be embarrassed or ashamed to play the music that we're listening to in God's presence, we shouldn't listen to it. Because after all, we are in God's presence all the time as a believer. God is always with us. We learned about that a couple weeks ago when Brother Chip said, "Lo, I am with you always." And that is a very comforting thing. That is a very encouraging thing, but that can also be a very convicting thing. When I'm standing here and I'm making choices, one thing I need to keep in perspective is He's always with me. He is always with me, and so He's always watching. He's always paying attention to the choices I'm making. So I believe that if we would have a greater sense of the holiness and the presence of God, it would truly transform a lot of things that we do. If we would realize that God is always with us, He's with us when we're driving down the highway. He's with us when we're sitting in our homes. He's with us when we're in the quiet of our personal space, whatever it is. He's always with us. So we need a greater sense of the holiness and the presence of God. But always remember the standard. Remember the standard of God's word and His holiness, His purity. And that'll help us to make right choices about our music that we listen to in our home. Let's pray. Father, this can be a challenging area because there's so many different opinions and ideas out there. But Father, help us to follow the standard of Your word. Help us to live our lives in a way that is pure, in a way that is holy, because that's who You are. And we need to exemplify You. We need to follow You. We need to be an image, presenting the image of Christ to others. Father, I pray that You would be honored and glorified as we go through this week. And as we have opportunity to make decisions, help us to remember that You are with us always. Help us to always please You. Help us to glorify You. And Father, please help us never to shame You. And I pray that You would guide in each one of our lives and grow us in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.